councils of government. We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
It's about scrutinizing history that we may save the future. It's about understanding control that we may act with free will. It's about truth, known and unknown. It's about reality, seen and unseen. It's about time to take a closer look. Your host is Michael Corbin.
Look, and tonight we're going to be talking with an author who has written numerous true crime books and about topics that I myself have even personally been interested in. He's best known for his work on the Zodiac Killer and recently published a book called Zodiac Unmasked. Again, as I said, he's a prolific author, has written many, many true crime books. He's got several projects in the work. Again, he's most noted for the work that he did on the Zodiac Killer. And it's a pleasure to welcome to the program tonight, Robert Graysmith. Good evening, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you very much for being on the program. Do you prefer Robert or Bob?
Either one's fine.
Okay. Well, let's jump into this. Now, the cases that he profiles in his books, I don't know what it is, Robert, but they are all of great interest to me personally. I think to a lot of people.
Well, thank you. I mean, I usually choose them very, very carefully. When I wrote Zodiac, I actually was working at the newspaper as their political cartoonist. When the letters from the Hooded Killer, who was sending us his ciphers and his threats and predictions. And, you know, gradually, I mean, I got to know the detectives really well. One of them is my best friend, Inspector Toski, who is the model for Dirty Harry. We call him Dusty Harry now. And I kept waiting for him to solve this thing. And one of the things you do with a political cartoonist is, you draw a picture, you either lampoon something or you do a serious drawing, and I actually like serious drawings.
Uh-huh.
And you get a reaction. You get a law change, you get somebody elected or unelected or whatever. And I thought, why couldn't you do this with an unsolvable murder case? It simply shows no sign of ending. This guy's just laughing at the police. There's no sense of justice at all. So over a 10-year period, from 76 to 86, I simply gathered up everything I could find and interviews with the babysitters and the engine vehicle numbers and all kinds of hidden trailers. And, you know, you just simply dug and dug and dug, and I put together a deceptively simple little book. Well, it's in its 35th printing now. People are going to solve this case. That's simply the whole idea behind the books I do. I give them, you know, not like what we're discussing. It's very, very detailed information.
Yeah.
The Zodiac case, we were talking about the leading suspect in that case. And, you know, when I did the second book, which was really about 500 pages I wasn't allowed to use legally in the first book, and we identified who the character, Star, we called him, that was his alias in the book, and it was a guy named Walter Lee Allen.
Yeah.
And when you start to look at this fellow, you know, you go to Vallejo, California, a little city, a little town to the north of San Francisco, and you see the layout, and you see that this guy lives literally, he could take a rock and hit, it's like a minor part of a block, hit the restaurant where the third Zodiac victim worked.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is like, you know, even though he's potentially gay, that's the sense we've had, he's a child molester, the first time in his life he met a woman that he was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so this woman moves, and the Zodiac crimes, and she knows the first two victims, and then he shows up at a party. And the odd thing about this, it was a painting party. Apparently this waitress had come into some money from somewhere, and she bought a new house. This mysterious guy that looks like Zodiac shows up, dressed in a business suit, doesn't join in with the painting and the rest of the party, and she's absolutely terrified. Well, all the people say her name is Lee, and she wants to murder someone. Well, this guy later admitted that's why his family turned him into the police, that he was showing up at parties wearing a suit, and just a lot of really odd things. He apparently knew all the victims. So I'm okay. That's a very interesting suspect. I'd like that. But the fact is, for the third victim, there's a pair of kids up at this lake. This is a very remote lake. Well, finally, I got up to this lake on exactly the same day that the murders had happened, September 26, 1969. Well, I went up on the same time of year. And I kept going through these records. Turned out there were only 10 people at this remote lake. This is way up the heck gone.
Is that very?
And one of them is Arthur Lee Allen. He admits it in letters from prison. He's identified by the three young co-eds that he was shadowing, and then they had noticed him. His voice is identified by the young man who was able to survive his stabbing, and even though the killer was wearing a hood. And gradually, you just say, well, the odds of him knowing the first, the second, the third victim. But in order for and to be turned in twice before this is Zodiac, the odds of him getting up to this lake and being there and somehow knowing this crime ahead of time and being within sight, within 100 yards, wearing the same kind of unique shoes sold only on military bases for walking on planes, that's what they made these Wingwalker shoes for.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, this is that's pretty unbelievable. And then you start looking at the facts that he got in a watch with a Zodiac symbol, and it was called Zodiac Watch. He got in this on the 18th of December, and the murders started on December 20th. So after you get about 1,000 of these things, and you take a look at the guy, and I've met him many, many times, and talked to his parole officer and watched him at work, you pretty much come away with a sense that this is the guy. But they've never been able to link him to the letters. His handwriting's close, but the experts say it's not his. So that's the glitch. That's why this man was never arrested. Well, Zodiac had said, I've got a basement full of bombs and guns and stuff, and when this guy died, they go into his basement, but they get guns and the Zodiac bomb formula, he was a chemist. He had just everything you expect Zodiac to have. He was the right height, the right weight, and the age. And you did point out that he was different, and Lee Allen is different in one respect. A lot of killers, especially serial killers we now know, they burn out about age 30. Zodiac, as far as we could tell, began when he was between 35 and 45. And that was the description that the officers who saw him and some of the victims that survived said.
What's it like being around this guy? I mean,
I got creeps. I'm actually an artist by trade. I mean, I was a political cartoonist. I hope to be able to do more fine art and sculpture.
Right.
So you get a little sense, and I remember sitting at the Isle of the Monkey where I wrote the Zodiac. It's just a little coffee shop down the street. And I remember one day my whole back just began to quiver, and I turned around, and there's a guy in the back of the room, and I said, who is that? I'm getting the weirdest spot. And he was a guy who had served time for murder and was out. I mean, you do pick up this guy, and it could have been just his child molesting.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the creepiest guy. He looks like, and he's as big and powerful and strong. Is the old Bonanza series. Remember Hoss Cartwright?
Yeah.
Well, that's who he looks like.
Dan Blocker,
and he'd go around and pass himself off as him. That's how close it was. He'd wear a white cowboy hat. He was down in Southern California when the murders. And the one piece that I like is we found two guys. One is used to own the RKL Film Library. He's quite wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
The other was an engineer who went up to Washington State.
Yeah.
And he predicted, Arthur Lee Allen did, before the murders, considerable time before the murders, he says, I'm going to put a gun, a light on the end of my gun. I'm going to hunt couples. Do it on the weekends. I'm going to call myself Zodiac, and I'm going to write letters to the press and send them cotton ciphers that they'll never break. And some of those ciphers still haven't been broken. So I just think you start adding this stuff up, it's pretty amazing. And the fact is, this guy's a supreme egotist. If he were alive, you'd be hearing from this fellow. They're planning movies. They're all this fascination all over the world, different translations of the case. People absolutely want to solve this case.
Well, it's because, it's one of those cases that just defies a lot of different conventions. I mean, you have a rash of murders, and does law enforcement suspect that there probably were more murders than what?
Well, I do. They go between 5 and 6. I mean, any one murder is too many.
Yeah.
But the fact was, he was simply going to tell him what he was going to do. He was telling him that he would predict it, he would crow about it after he had done it. But at one point, he began to write things like SFPD, zero, and then he put his sign, which is a cross circle.
Right.
And he put that, and he did 37. Well, and then after 37, he says, you know what, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm going to make them look like their accidents.
Yeah.
And I got the feeling this guy was experimenting with murder. So we figured about 50 at one point. And he had a trailer, our leading suspect did, up by Santa Rosa College. Well, poets started disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Nurses started disappearing.
Yeah.
And between the spot where they disappeared and where they were all found piled on top of each other over many, many months, as soon as they layered, which indicated it was the same kind of person, and by the way, all killed in a different manner,
mm-hmm.
Was his trailer. And the intriguing thing was that these people were hitchhikers. They'd be picked up, and they would start in the direction of where they were eventually found, but there'd be like a week missing before they were actually murdered. So they were taken somewhere between the pickup time and the time they were dumped. So I always felt that the killer had to have had something somewhere in the middle. And in this case, I think it was his trailer.
Yeah.